Malibu Community Radio and Sante Aesthetics and Wellness are proud to co-sponsor A Touch of Portland 2014, an exploration in healing. Saturday, August 16th, from noon to 8 p.m. A Touch of Portland is a KBU benefit that focuses on the healing arts. It gives participants a chance to sample multiple healing modalities in a comfortable setting. This year will be a block party on Northwest 17th between Davis and Everett. It will feature organic food from local restaurateurs and 8 hours of music broadcast live. We will have multiple modalities of massage, acupuncture, shiatsu, and more. That's Saturday, August 16th from 12 to 8 p.m. A Touch of Portland, an exploration in healing. For more information, go to kbu.fm under events.
This is KBOO Portland. The time is 11 a.m. Coming up on the incomparable Radio Zine, host Janka Soderberg gets an update on the latest deaths from Israeli bombings in Gaza with Mohammed Nabil, followed by Roberta Schwartz of Neighbors for a Livable West Lynn, talking about saving the White Oak Savannah of the Willamette Valley and an upcoming summer concert. After that, we'll have Daniel Flessis speaking with members of Dreamland Art Collective about a series of upcoming events that will act as micro-examinations into how culture and technology are shifting the structure of relationships. As always, a big thank you to all the KBU members for your generous support. What, you're not a KBU member? Well, you can remedy that right now at kboo.fm or, at your earliest convenience, click where it says Donate Today. This is your community radio. Keep it locked right here.
$1.8 million people surrounded on all sides. Refugees since 48, since 67 occupied. The only reason they're not starving is down to the UN. Most have never left, they're stuck in the lion's den. The most crowded place on earth, and there they'll stay. They can't visit cousins, half hour's drive away. Drones overhead, constantly. Who will die tomorrow? A daily mystery in Gaza. The settlers moved out, the fighter jets moved in. In Gaza, there's just no way that you can win. You can't take out a copter with an antiquated gun. You're just a target sitting in the sun, waiting for your death to come raining from the sky, where the end really is nigh. You can hear a sonic boom and see a flashing light every hour of the day, every hour of the night in Gaza. There are no shelters, nowhere you can hide. Life is nothing like it is on the other side. There's nothing post about the traumatic stress. There's never more, usually less. And still some people wonder, they insist on asking why anyone would be so mad as to reply, so mad as to think that it might make sense to lob some missiles over the fence from Gaza. From Gaza. From Gaza.
We are joined in the studio by Mohammed, who is from Khan Yunis. And Mohammed, can you tell us about what's been going on in Khan Yunis the last 24 hours? We've been hearing that people are cut off and that the bombing is ongoing there.
Yeah, actually, like, I wasn't able to be in touch with my family over the internet since, you know, before the last day. And like a hospital being bombed yesterday at night, and it's called the Mustashfa Al Wafa, which is Al Wafa Hospital. And also there is East Khan Yunis area, it's called Khaza'a. Like till now, like there's nobody knows about what's going on in that area, because like Israel call it as like the Israeli army call it as a closed military area. So that means that no ambulance can go there, or no press. So till now, like all the press around that area came from the like the edges of that area. So till now, we are waiting for some kind of a small or short ceasefire for about an hour for that area, for the press and for the medical staff and teams to be able to go and tell us what exactly happened there.
So is the fear now that what's happening in Khaza'a is similar to what happened in Shujaiya on this past Saturday night, Sunday morning, in which over 75 people were killed in a what's been deemed a massacre in Shujaiya?
Yeah, definitely. What's going on there is more than insane and more than what can mind imagine. And the news and the similarity, like the reporters saying something like it might be, and there is a big possibility for it to be a real massacre. If not worse than the Shujaiya massacre, it will be similar at least.
And Ashraf Al-Khudra from the Palestinian Ministry of Health has reported that at least 20 Palestinians have been killed in Khaza'a, but they're unable to retrieve the bodies at this point. Do you have any information or any news about how many people are there in Khaza'a?
Well, Khaza'a is one of the, a biggest complex in Khan Yunis, especially because it's all of it based on farming. So the majority there are farmers, and it's kind of an edge area in Khan Yunis. So there are almost about more than 5,000 people lived in that area in Khan Yunis. Just so many people were able to be evacuated from that area before they announced it as a closed military area. But we don't know exactly what's the exact number who is there. And even like Ashraf Al-Khudra and the Minister of Health like confirm that there is at least 20. And I remember in Al-Shaja'iyya at the very beginning, they say at least there's 30 people were killed, and they end up like, after we discover what's happening, like we end up knowing that there's 75 people were killed. So it's behind imagination.
Wow. And your city, Khan Yunis, is also the site of the single worst attack on Sunday night. The Abu Jamah family suffered 26 family members, all killed in a single airstrike. Do you have any information about that?
So Abu Jamah family is one of the biggest families in Khan Yunis, and it's like their main center is like in Khan Yunis, East Khan Yunis, which is close to Khaza'a city. And I could tell that the 26 people from the same family number is the most biggest number for a family being massacred at once since the beginning of Castlet till now, or even before 2000, when the second intifada happens, and that so 26 number six persons is like the biggest of its kind for a same family.
And when you look at that that list of the Abu Jama family, you see the matriarch, Fatima Abu Jama, her three daughters-in-law. Each of them had four or five small children each that were killed. Did Israel give any reason for attacking that family?
Not that I know, and unless Israel have a very important reason to kill civilians and kids and children, because the majority of that family, as you said, it's women, children, like the number of men in that family that's not elderly are, I think, just about five people or less. And the other of it is just kids and women and elderly. So not that there is no reason I could think of, unless like they just want to bomb it and they just want to end this house and end these lives.
And one of the incidents that has made the media in the U.S., albeit in not an exactly accurate manner, is an instance that actually occurred in Khan Yunis as well in the first 2 days of the Israeli assault that began on July 8th, which was an incident in which the Israeli military phoned a family saying that they were going to bomb the house, and instead of leaving the house, the family went on the roof. Here in the U.S., it's been reported that a group of young men rushed into the house to try and be martyrs, but as I think people on the ground in Khan Yunis have pointed out, that's not what happened. And you have also information about what happened in that particular instance?
Yeah, actually this family is called Kawara family, and it's just three streets from my house. And like many of my cousins are friends with them, and one of them was... like who was able to be survived after this attack, who is my classmate in high school. And what happened exactly there is like they phoned the family and they says like, evacuate, we want to bomb the house. People of that family, because you know it was the third day or the second day of the war, so people wasn't imagine like how horrible is this, and wasn't have kind of imagination like if it will be like a kind of a small operation or if it will be like a big operation. So this says we want to protect this house and we don't want this house to be bombed. So everybody went to the roof of the house and they stayed at the roof to tell the airplane that we are here, you should know about us and don't bomb. And there is no weapons and there is no none of the people that you think that you want in that house. So they end up like just ignoring all of that and just bomb the house with people in it and in the roof as well, causing more than 8 people being killed and more than 30 people being injured just from that particular house.
So you got word that a friend of yours was killed yesterday.
They got him. He martyred yesterday in the morning at the Gaza time. And they did not just satisfied with that result, but they end up just saying and telling his family and his cousin family, who lives in two buildings, separated buildings, to evacuate because they want to bomb those two buildings, which is hard to think what they need more. Like, what do you want from his family? What do you want from his cousin family? And what do you want from his 3 years old kid and from his 4 years old kid and from his 5 years old kid?
Just tell us a little bit about your friend. You said he's got small children.
Yeah, he's really a nice person to know, actually. And like he always laughs and he has a very, very good sense of humor. when he got married, like, I was really young. He is older than me. And he always says, like, how could I be a friend with you while you are really young? Like, you're 16 years old and I'm 25. Like, why we are friends? And he's just, he definitely was joking. And, like, when I went to his, marriage party, like, he was really happy. And, I remember that he says, like, I hope those children will grow up and not have a hard life that the life that we got in 2000. He was really happy that we are on our way to have the disengagement, because, like, it was at that time in 2004, like, they were talking about kind of a disengagement in the Gaza Strip. So he was, like, a very, very hopeful person and a very interesting person. Also, like, he and I and another friend in the Gaza Strip, we were organizing an internet forum and, for discussion and talking about, social issues and also about, informative ways to tell the community about some things that it need to be criticized to be able to be, solved in the community.
So when you talk about a critique of the society, was it a critique of the way that women are treated or something like that within the society that you were working on with him?
Yeah, definitely. Like, the women issue was a very, very, an important thing. And he was saying, like, many people think that what's the oppressing that happened for women, the father passed away or the mother passed away, like, usually the males and the woman brother will take the money, and they say, like, you don't have the right to have the money from your father or anything else that the father or the mom has left after they passed. This was one of the most interesting issues that we were working on it and trying to inform. We print pamphlets and we went to the street to tell people, like, this is an issue that we have to care about, because, this is not a representative of the Islam religion, as a, the most common religion in the Gaza Strip is Islam, although that we have a Christian minority there. And, like, he says, like, even if this is a full religious issue, it's not a humanitarian issue to treat women with that, because she's a person like us and we are people like her. So also, like, we were doing, like, many other things, painting schools and painting streets. We were organizing one of the most important things in our consideration, which is we were doing a cleaning day. So we were organizing that day for a month, knocking to every house, telling them about, we want to go together in the street, clean the streets, and make our neighborhood one of the most clean neighborhoods in the Gaza Strip. So we end up, like, having all the people being outside of their houses, and, like, it's a very, very satisfiable scene, like, to see everybody, elderly, kids, women, men, just going in the streets, like, pick the, the papers and the dust from the street and put them away. Somebody, you will find him, like, painting. Somebody is, like, watering the plants in the street. It was one of the most amazing things that we did together with other friends, actually.
I understand that also there's some connection between your friend and the happy video that people might have seen, that was kind of a viral video going around the internet, was Happy Gaza, the people dancing to the song.
So he doesn't have a very direct link to that video, but actually, he is the cousin of the person who made that video and made many other videos about the Gaza Strip and the society. And the group that made this video is Bastia Zalama, And it's now on YouTube and it's on the Facebook and Twitter, and they are doing very, very interesting videos, like showing the parts of Gaza that the people doesn't see usually. Like the happy video, like it's kind of something that nobody was know. Like if you imagine Gaza, you know, like in the normal and the stereotypical view about Gaza will be like sad area, conflict area, and nobody smile and nobody do anything. But actually this video, I feel in my own way that he did show some of the elements for the other people, saying that no, we are people, we have smiles, we have tears, we go to school, we do running, we have art, and we have all of the other stuff that we are care about like anybody in this earth. I know that he was a very, very good supportive of his cousin at the very beginning when he started doing his job.
So just one of the many losses for the people of Gaza this last couple of weeks. Well, thanks so much, Mohammed, and we will definitely keep following what's happening in Khan Yunis. This is Jacob Soderberg with KBOO Radio.
Lit up the sky over Gaza tonight. People running for cover.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. With a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go? You don't know what you've got till it's gone. They pave paradise.
Good morning. This is Kathleen Stevenson for the Radio Zine. My guest is Roberta Schwartz, who is with Neighbors for a Livable West Lynn. For 10 years, members of the community have been working to make a park of the White Oak